Okay, today is May the 16th. The Lord has given us another day of grace in order to grow up in His Word, so let's take advantage of it. We'll take a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, it gives us the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are in control and in charge of all things. As we see the world around us continue to spin out of control, we can have complete security and peace, knowing that all these things must come to pass. And You've given us Your Word. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the grace system of perception. You've given us indeed everything that we need in order to fulfill Your plan and to grow up spiritually and glorify You. We thank You for all of these things and pray that You will help us to concentrate on Your Word and let it have its way with our soul so that we can do mighty things through You. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. And what I'm teaching and have been really focusing on for a little while now could be taught nearly from any of the epistles. For what I'm teaching is so important because it helps us to understand why we are left on planet Earth after we're saved. Unfortunately, most believers today don't have a clue about the spiritual dynamics that are available to them in God's Word. They just simply haven't been taught what they are to do after salvation. The great majority of them revert back to morality. They think that they can fulfill the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age believer who's a royal family member of God. And they think that they can fulfill that through morality. And it just simply cannot be done, for even an unbeliever can be moral. There are a lot of unbelievers that will out-moral, that's a word, just about any believer around. So it's really a crisis that we have in Christianity today, because the churches simply are not teaching how to execute God's plan. What are the spiritual dynamics? What are the mechanics? What are we to do? Most Christians go around in a fog and they are confused because they don't understand the difference of the things that God does for a person who believes in Jesus Christ instantly and automatically and permanently. And we call those the positional things. Our position is in Christ, and nothing can change that. You as a believer, if you so desire, could become a serial killer. I don't recommend it, but you have volition. And even if you did that, nothing can take you out of Christ's hand. You cannot lose your salvation, nor can you get out of that so important position, which is in Christ. Now, there are a lot of people who have believed in Jesus Christ, and they are still in spiritual kindergarten, and the reason is because they are ignorant of Bible doctrine. They don't even know for sure if they're going to heaven or not. And until you at least advance out of that stage whereby you can know for certain, absolutely sure, based on the authority and the veracity of our God, that they're going to heaven, then you're still very much an immature baby believer. And all of this takes knowledge. We're always looking at the Scriptures and seeing how important knowledge is. Well, if you don't have the knowledge, then what you don't know is that after salvation and God has done all these permanent things that are not felt, you don't even know that these things have occurred until after you started getting into the Word and saying, oh, I see now what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That's what put me into Christ. It's mechanic. It doesn't have anything to do with water. Oh, why didn't somebody tell me before? That's what I thought. The first time that I had an accurate teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I did one of these. Ah! And I continue to do that. I'm doing that all the time. Ah! I wish I knew that before. Unfortunately, a lot of believers never learn these things. And therefore, they cannot distinguish between positional sanctification, being set apart to God by, on the basis of what He does, which is permanent, and what I just come up with the term experiential sanctification. Now, what in the world is that? That would give a lot of people a headache just hearing it, much less trying to put the pieces together and connect the dots and trying to figure out what it's all about. Experiential sanctification is a potential for every believer. It has to do with your volition. What are you going to do with the time that God has left for you here on earth? And you can make decisions. You see, there's only one decision, boom, in a moment of time, that gives you positional sanctification. That's faith alone and Christ alone. And boom, you're in. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. And we just saw in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that you are kept. And that is in the perfect tense, perfect passive. It's not something that you do, it's something that Christ does for you. And that result goes on and on. You're kept by the power of God. That's positional sanctification. But after that decision, God expects us to make a lot more decisions. Every day you have to make decisions. He's given you volition. And there's a good side and there's a downside to that. The good side is that we're free to think and do anything we want to do. The downside is that God holds us responsible for what we decide to do. And if we really want to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, more than just knowing that He died for us on the cross, if we want to know God the Father and the plan, and where the Holy Spirit fits into all these things, if we want to know that, then God is obligated by His own essence to give you that information. And there's nothing that He wants more than to do just exactly that. He wants you to grow up spiritually by acquiring knowledge, and make no mistake about it, there's no other way to grow up spiritually other than to get information you didn't have before. You don't grow by getting out and hustling and doing good deeds and trying to be better than someone else. If you don't have the spiritual dynamics, if you don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible calls that human good. It's good. It's better than bad, but certainly not acceptable to God. God is only impressed with what He can do. And He's impressed with what He can do through you. And He can't do much through you, even as a believer, if you're a dumbo. And so He expects us to acquire knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And He never commands us, and He never gives us tasks that we can't do, because He always provides the means to do it. And we have the Holy Spirit as a believer. He is your mentor. He is your true teacher. I'm just a mouthpiece. That's all I am. I mean, any pastor. So we're just filling the air with vibrations, with these with sound waves. But I can't teach you a thing. I can give you an accurate presentation of the gospel and of the spiritual dynamics of the church age and promises and other things, the whole realm of doctrine. But you have to be tuned in to that spiritual acumen, that understanding. And it's the Holy Spirit that takes spiritual phenomenon that is completely ununderstandable, the confusing nonsense to the unbeliever, but He can make it clear and perspicuous to you as a believer. But He can't do it if you're negative. There's one thing I notice about every one of you tonight. You're here. I'm almost certain that I can be sure about that. You're here. And that tells me something. That tells me the first leg on your quest for knowledge is already in the bag. You're here. Now, I don't know why you're here. It's none of my business why you're here. I've seen people who were drugged here it's some kind of deal. You know, if you go to church with me, then, you know, I'll give you such and such, or you'll get that or this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, the body language doesn't lie. And there have been people who have come here, and I just feel like saying, you know what, let's just shut down for a minute. And all these people with a sour expression on their face that aren't taking notes, they're not reading their Bible, they're just sitting there looking like they're going through a slow death. Let's just let them leave. Do them a favor. They're here, but they're not tuned in. So you have to be tuned in. You have to have positive volition. You have to be concentrating. Then the Holy Spirit can take the Word that is alive and powerful, and He can simply, completely, and totally change your life with it. And I'm not talking about making you a more moral person or a better person. I'm talking about lighting you up as to what life is really about. And that's what we're talking about. When we talk about positional sanctification as opposed to experiential sanctification, if you don't understand these terms, if you don't want to know these if you don't want to understand these terms, then you can leave. God allows you to go out and live life the best that you know how. And at the end of life, you'll be saying, is that all there is? Is that it? It's here and it's gone. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It's here and it disappears. It doesn't matter whether you have 20 years, 30, 50, 70, 80, 90. It doesn't matter. At the end, it's going to seem brief. And if you leave God out of the mix, and you don't want to learn these technical terms, then death will be a horrible experience for you. It'll be a leap out into darkness, not knowing what is in store. But for a believer who has knowledge, he's not afraid of death. He anticipates the great, wonderful things that God has promised him after death. He's able to take all the suffering that we experience here on earth, and rather being a chronic complainer, and rather than throwing a pity party and inviting everyone, what you can do is completely change your thinking on it and say, oh yeah, God loves me. And if He allows suffering to come into my life, it's for a purpose. And He's demonstrating to me, as well as others, as well as to the angels, what He can do to help me be complete, content, secure, and happy, even under the worst circumstances. Yes, you might be a believer, and if you leave, if a person turns his back on the Word, he gets distracted, the next day he's not going to feel any different. And that's what happens. It's kind of a gradual, incremental thing. A person starts getting away from doctrine, and Satan is out there. So many people think that Satan is out there, and he's in all the drug dealers, and he's in all the honky tonks and beer joints. No, that's not what's. Human nature will take care of that. The old sin nature. His target are believers. And if you are a believer and you have positive volition and you want to learn the Word of God, you have a target on you. And Satan is zeroing in on you. And you know what he does? He tries to distract you from what's really important. He can ruin your life, not by bringing in some kind of calamity, but a lot of times by bringing in something real neat and shiny and wonderful. And you get your eyes on that. We have bachelors in our midst. And all our bachelors have been warned by me repeatedly. More often than not, this distraction comes in the form of a female. And I've seen so many young, not just bachelors, it's the ladies who are single also, but it seems to be more apt to bachelors because they're just, I don't know, they're just, well, they're just messy. But what happens more often than not is they'll start looking at this female and get their eyes off the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being attracted to females. I mean, that's the way God made us. But he has prohibitions in his word. And one of the prohibitions is to not be united, not to be linked or yoked with an unbeliever. And women have power over men. Don't ever doubt that. And men can rise to the occasion by applying the doctrine. And if a woman, no matter how gorgeous she may be, no matter how good she smells, no matter how likable, you know all the things, a man has to be, and I said a man, not a boy, a man has to stand up to the plate and say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, because there's something more important to me than you, or it's more important than me or anything else, and that's my relationship with God. And he prohibits me from even getting involved with something that's going to become a distraction. I'm sorry I got on this, been pontificating up here. I had no idea I was going to do this. Sometimes it just happens. But I want you to understand how important it is that you inculcate, internalize, put in your long-term memory banks what we are studying. I'm about to put an overlay up on the screen. And you have to understand this overlay. Not only do you have to understand it to where you can internalize it, but you have to understand it well enough to tell others about it. See, I can't reach so many people. My job isn't to reach everyone. My job is to reach those who are here, that come here and listen and to teach them. It's your job to take what is on this chart, this screen that I'm about to show you, and in your own way, in your own words, in your own time, in your own fashion, to impart that to others. And I'm not even talking about witnessing now. Not to unbelievers. Essentially what I'm talking about is witnessing to believers. Letting them know, hey, what life is really about. And all of you have friends, you have relatives, you have acquaintances. And they don't have a clue what life is about. But you do. But we're going to look at it in a way that will help solidify it in your mind, hopefully. Let's see if this is going to work tonight. Let's see, I gotta have my... Oh, I'm blank. I'm blank. I'm blank even when I don't have it on my forehead. I'm blank. that's an inside joke for a couple Sundays ago. You see this blank? When I first used this, the Lord has a way of humbling people. We had a full house. They were putting chairs, metal chairs out. And I'm talking about the wisdom of Solomon. And this was stationed where it was written, right across my forehead. Right where I'm standing. That's the inside joke, anyway. Okay. Now let's see what happens. I think I have to be over here. Oh, wrong. Why didn't tell me? Oh, wait. I know what I need to do. I'm new with this, so it takes a minute. All right. That's a miracle. Okay, here we have it. Positional sanctification and experiential sanctification. This is what I've been talking about. And over here to the left, it doesn't come out real. I wanted to make this kind of subdued so you'd focus more on what's over here. And I think I subdued it right out of the visual, didn't I? Nearly. Can y'all see that? Danny, y'all can't see it. All right, well, I'll just tell you what it is. We have two columns here. And the first one right here is time. Time, in reference to positional sanctification, takes one moment. However long it takes you to believe in Jesus Christ, boom, you're in Christ. You're eternally and totally saved. And your position from that point on would be in Christ. And you won't meet St. Peter at the Golden Gate and have to put up with any nonsense. I like the jokes, but it's horrible theology. So it happens in a moment of time. However, experiential sanctification, this is your experience in life as a believer, takes a lifetime. And there are verses that have to do with enduring to the end. What is that talking about? Enduring to the end of what? The end of your life. God expects you to endure. For those who He's going to reward and decorate at the judgment seat of Christ, He will say, "Well done, thy good and what?
Faithful."
Faithful. And what does that take? Endurance. It takes a lifetime. Thousands and thousands of decisions. And the good thing is, when we fall off the wagon, whenever we decide that sin is so attractive we've just got to do it, we really don't have to, we just want to so bad, we just decide to do it. When we do that, He in grace has given us the modus operandi to get back into fellowship with God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. And that is by what we just simply call rebound. I'm looking for an overlay. Ron, did you put that? The overlays up here? Yeah, well, they disappeared. I'll go to that some other time. Am I up there again? Okay. Well, I was going to show you something, but I'll just press on. The second thing here is for. So, positional sanctification is for all believers. Every believer, when they believe in Jesus Christ, are sanctified. Remember when we were studying 1 Corinthians? Even those rebellious, hard-headed, obnoxious, just totally insensitive and... Well, I'm running out of adjectives. You get the point. They were sanctified. They were in Christ. So all believers are sanctified. By the way, sanctification has to do with being set apart for blessing. Remember that. God sets apart every person that believes in Christ for blessing. Part of the blessing is that they'll go to heaven, but there's other things that have to be looked at also. Now, on the experiential side, some believers are experientially sanctified and some are not. The first one, positional sanctification, depends on what? Remember this, one decision. When you believe in Christ, you are positionally sanctified. You have imputed eternal life has been imputed to you as well as God's own righteousness. You can't lose those either. But the experiential part are for some believers, and that is for the believers who use their volition and make decisions throughout their lifetime to continue to grow, to continue to have spiritual momentum, to continue to enrich and enlarge their relationship with God. So it's only for some. Not every believer is experientially sanctified. That depends on them. Over here, positional sanctification depends on God. And you will continue to be kept by the power of God because it depends on what He does, positionally. Experiential sanctification has to do with what you decide to do with your life. The next area here is the condition. There is a condition to be positionally sanctified, and that is faith in Christ. We simply distill it to this lowest denominator, and that we just simply say faith alone in Christ alone. That is the only condition to be positionally sanctified. So anytime, this is important to understand, anytime you're reading in the Bible and you see the if, every time you come to an if, that's what's called a conditional clause. And there's four different types. And when I'm exegeting and when I'm giving you the word, I always tell you what type it is. The first type is if and it's true. The second type is if and it's not true. Third class condition, if maybe it is and maybe it isn't. That's the way we always use if, but not so in the Greek. And the fourth type is I wish it was, but it's not. Those are the four conditional clauses. So anytime you're reading in the Bible and there's a condition and it says that the only condition is faith, trust, or believing, then you can say, okay, then this relates to positional sanctification. But what about over here? Under experiential sanctification, the condition essentially is spiritual maturity. You're not going to be experientially sanctified unless you reach spiritual maturity. And what does it take to get to spiritual maturity? It takes God's grace. It takes His Word. It takes a pastor. It takes logistical grace. It takes a number of things. But number one on the hit parade is your volition. You decide if you're going to be experientially sanctified or not. And that's many decisions. So that's the condition to be experientially sanctified. Some believers who choose to meet this condition will do it, and it takes a lifetime. The next one over here is volition towards Bible doctrine. For the person who is in positionally sanctified, now what I'm trying to do in this is present to you a person on this side, positionally sanctified, that never grows. A believer who believes in Jesus Christ but never advances a centimeter in his life. Never learns anything about who and what God is or what His plan is or anything about the whole realm of doctrine. Then what he has will be negative volition. As opposed over here to a person who makes decisions, decides to be experientially sanctified, he has positive volition. Now, as I said earlier, you're already on your way. I mean, you're here. And it looks like everybody's listening and concentrating. I'm telling you the truth, and the rest is up to the Holy Spirit. He's going to make it real and lucid, conspicuous to you. He's going to even file it away in your long-term memory banks where you'll remember this if you accept it. So you're here, you're hearing it, you're able to understand it if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The only other ingredient left is, are you going to accept it? Are you going to say, well, man, I've never heard this before. Good old brother so-and-so never said this before. I don't know about this. And you can turn it down. But if you accept it, if you believe it, then there's something that happens in your soul. The information that I'm giving you is called gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S in the Greek. Gnosis information. That means the Holy Spirit has made it understandable to you. And that's in your mind, the news. Your mind is called the news. But if you believe it, if you understand it and believe it, then that information is transferred over into the cardia. That's the dominant portion of your soul. And then it becomes epignosis information. See, gnosis over here is just knowledge. You understand it. But when it gets over here into your heart, that part of your soul, after you believe it, it's only your faith in believing that transfers it over here into your heart, it becomes epignosis. Epi means full or complete. Complete knowledge. Then it's yours. It changes your soul. And you don't think the way you used to. You think in another way. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to get rid of all that stinking thinking that we all have. Every one of us, we have a whole trainload of it. And the process of becoming experientially sanctified is taking that trainload of garbage in our soul that you all have accumulated and I have accumulated from all these different sources. And the Greek word is catharsis, the English word is catharsis. It means to get rid of it, to cleanse it, to get rid of it. And the more doctrine that you learn, the more you understand these spiritual concepts that I'm teaching you, the more that garbage leaves and the more you are being conformed to the image of God's Son. Because you can't do that apart from learning the mind of Christ, which is the Bible. So, this is the ball game right here, folks. More than anything else, what will determine your life will be your volition. You decide. God lays it out. And He still has faithful pastors who are presenting this. And maybe not in this fashion, but in some fashion, He's getting the word across so that His children can decide. Do I want to have eternal rewards and decorations and privileges and opportunities for all eternity? Do I want to be a co-ruler with Christ? Do I want to have the order of the morning star? Do I want to eat from the tree of life? Do I want to be presented personally to God the Father? No, 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 no. Well, most believers say, what is He talking about? Isn't that true? And there lies the shame. The Bible tells us you can't have an eternal sense of destiny and have faith and trust in what God has for you in the future if you are an ignorant dumbo. I'm just putting it to you. That's just the truth of it. And going to church isn't about getting emotionally stimulated, razzmatazz, and people come out of a service, oh, that was such a good service, I'm so moved. Yeah, what'd you learn?
What?
Learn. Well, I'll move on. The next thing is heaven. Positional sanctification. Where's my cursor? There it is. All right. With regard to heaven, means that, and we've gone over this, remember? Every believer is going to inhabit heaven. No doubt about it. The worst believer that ever lived. I don't know who he is. I could make some suggestions of people that I think were reprehensible, but I don't know. They might be on your hit parade. I don't know. But whoever it was, they are just as saved as you are. There's no one here that's more saved than anybody else. And there's not one person here that can maintain their salvation. 1 Peter 1:5, I'm going to say it again and again. We are kept. Perfect tense. God did something in the past and the results go on into the future. Passive voice. We can't do anything. God did it for us. The moment that we had that little blip of faith towards Jesus Christ, remember, it's not the quantity of faith that you have. It's not the quality of faith that you have that matters. It's the object of faith that matters. And the smallest measure of faith directed towards Jesus Christ results in a person being positionally sanctified. And they receive over 40 things, permanent things, in an instant. The problem is, it doesn't come as a flash or lightning bolt out of heaven. You don't feel it. You don't even know it. Until someone teaches you about it. And once you understand these things that take place that God does for us, then you can start to grow in appreciation for who and what He is. What He's done for you in the past, what He's doing for you now, and what He's going to do for you in the future. And it changes everything. But you can't do it in ignorance. So they will inhabit heaven, but for the person that decides to make his life count by learning God's plan for us, we call it executing the spiritual way of life in the church age. Once you learn that, you're going to inhabit it. That means you're going to be in control. There's going to inherit it. You're going to be an inheritor. There's a big old place over here called Citadel. Isn't that what it's called? It's a nice big place. And I don't know who owns it. I think it's a guy named Smith. Is that right? Well, anyway, what if you were one of his children? And in the will it says, John Smith, you are going to be able to inhabit this building. Would that turn you on? That would mean you couldn't change anything. You couldn't remodel. You couldn't add on to it. There's a lot of things you couldn't do. But if it says you have inherited this, what does that mean? Well, you have full reign of the place. You can paint it purple polka dotted if you want to. Anything you want to do is, and that's the difference. What people don't understand, we have to change our goal from thinking, I sure hope I get to heaven, to where we know for darn sure we're going to be there. It's just, what are we going to be when we're going to be there? What is your status going to be? Your decisions now will determine it. And I'm not trying to say, not the decisions to try to outgood somebody. Be a bigger do-gooder than someone else. Unfortunately, I see somebody just, it's funny. And in a sense, I guess you got to keep your sense of humor, but it's sad. So many Christians are trying to outdo good other believers because they think that's how you get ahead. You can't get ahead in ignorance. You have to know something before you can appreciate. You can't know God if you don't. You can't love Him if you don't know Him. Okay, then we get over here. Rewards. Positional sanctification? None. Zero. Over here, rewards for experiential? Yes, you're going to get rewards, decorations, crowns, privileges, opportunities. And we can't even start to imagine how great these are. And how long do they last? Forever. What a deal. Grace, position people that have just positional sanctified and they don't move on. They have logistical grace. You know what this means? This means that God is going to supply the dumbo believer who has negative volition everything he needs in order to get over here to the experiential sanctification column. You're God's child as a believer, and He provides everything you need, so you can't all these people in this area and other areas where there's a doctrinally sound church around can't say, well, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, they can't say, well, you know, Lord, if you'd only had someone there to teach the truth and tell me this, then I would have latched on to it. No one is going to be able to make that claim. And this church is a good example of it. The only reason this church is here is because there was a pocket of positive volition here. There were some people who wanted to know the Lord more than the average mediocre Christian. And the Lord will move mountains. He will do whatever is necessary to feed that positive volition. And so He gives us all logistical grace. None of us can say that, well, if you'd only, Lord, if you'd only give me this, you'd give me that. No, you're standing before God, Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I hope you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment. That's for unbelievers. We're talking about as a believer. Isn't this something that you ought to be telling your believing friends? Do you know how many of your believing friends don't know the judgment seat of Christ from a freight train? They don't have a clue what it's about. Don't you think it's important for them to know? Do you think I'm going to tell them? I don't even know who they are. And I'm challenging you. You get this information down. You understand it. And if you transfer it from gnosis in your mind, you hear it and understand it, into epignosis, full knowledge, you can't wait to tell them. And I'm not talking about preaching to them. And you have to use discernment. You start talking to somebody and they start getting this far away look in their eyes and they start kind of leaning towards the door and they're trying to change the subject. You have to use discernment. Those are telltale signs of negative volition. You don't hard sell anybody. But people need to know, don't they? Well, I'm talking about what life is really about. When was the last time you told somebody? Don't answer. That's between you and the Lord. That's the logistical grace. Now, here's the good news right here. For the person who has decided that he wants to be on this column, in this column, the experience you're sanctified, he gets super grace. This is the grace column right here. This is grace. Logistical for all believers, but God wants to give us more. It's called super grace. Over in James chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, says He gives greater grace. You know what that greater grace can be translated? Super grace. Every believer gets logistical grace. God will supply everything that he needs in order to reach that point to where he can glorify Christ. But for those who make the right decisions and grow up spiritually, he gives super grace. It's in six categories. We've studied this and it'll blow your mind. Listen to this. Oh, man. People talk about the good news and they're always talking about the gospel. And the gospel is good news. And the greatest thing about the good news is you can't lose it. Don't let anybody come around and say, oh, well, I got the good news of the gospel. But of course, you can't do this or you'll lose it, or you can't do that. You'll just forfeit it. The good news about the gospel is that you can't lose it. It's kept by the power of God. But there's even more good news for the believer. You don't have to wait for eternity to get these super grace blessings. These blessings that are up and over and above and beyond what the normal believer would suspect. Greater blessings, you can have them now in time. And as you start growing spiritually, and as you start applying the doctrines that you learn, and you learn how to faith rest. Faith rest is just taking the promises of God. It's depending on God. And when the crisis starts to hit and the calamities and adversity in life starts to grab a hold of you, you just shake it away. The doctrine is your parameter. The doctrine is what you need in order to protect your soul from all of this adversity. Hey, y'all are doing great. That didn't even distract. I didn't see a head turn. Y'all are really tuned in. All right, so what does that mean? That means that you have something that others don't. This is so important. If you understand experiential sanctification, what God wants for you, you no longer have to depend on the good things in life in order to be happy. All you need is what you already have, and that's the Lord. And you have a real relationship with Him. You talk to Him. and you apply the word. God speaks to us through His word. And when you apply His word, and the roof comes crashing down, and you're just sitting there, figuratively speaking, you know, praise the Lord. How about isn't He wonderful? Have you heard anybody from Katrina get on TV and say, isn't He wonderful? What happened? Well, I just lost my house. I lost everything I had. Isn't He wonderful? And the people sit there scratch their head. Is this person delusional? Get him to a medic. He needs care. They can't understand that you can be on this life and not depend on your circumstances for happiness. Now, isn't that worth pursuing? You know how many few people do that? I'm talking about believers now. If you don't have these spiritual dynamics, if you don't have that doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness, if you're not applying these things and seeing the Lord work these things and faithful to His Word, you don't even know what life is about yet. Super grace. Above what? Beyond. Well, the Bible says it's exceedingly abundantly beyond what all we can even think. That's what God wants to give you. Do you see many believers going around with that attitude, that type of appreciation? No, because they're dumbos. They don't know about these things. The next one here is status. If you only have been positionally sanctified, you haven't moved on, then you're a baby believer. There are baby believers. There are adolescent believers, teenagers. Woo, that's a tough one. That's the believers that know a little and they think they know a lot, just like teenagers. Then you have the mature believers. Well, they're baby believers. You get over here to the experiential sanctification part, you have adult believers. What's the difference between a baby and an adult? Doesn't an adult know a lot more than a baby? And I don't care what your age is, and I don't care how long you've been going to church, if you haven't been taught, you're still a baby believer. But the good news is, it's not too late. Never is too late. Moving from babyhood into adulthood. And part of that is going to be suffering. God adds that to test you for your own benefit. It accelerates your growth. We'll get to that later. Now we have the relationship. Now these last two are probably the two hardest on people. But they're the ones that really help you to understand. If you have only been positionally sanctified and over a period of time, you're wasting time, you're not growing, then you have become an enemy of Christ. And that's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, actually, you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. And that's talking about a believer. Their God has become their emotions. It says their stomach, kolia in the Greek. See, the Greek didn't have words for emotions. They didn't have these psychological terms. So they would say the kolia, which is a womb or a stomach. If you're emotional, has butterflies in your stomach, that's what it's trying to convey. So they have made their God their emotion. Isn't there a lot of people that go to church today and that's what they've done? They're worshiping their emotion. They don't know what spirituality is. They want to go and get their emotional fix on Sundays. But they can be the enemy. And I'm talking about believers. As opposed to over here in experiential sanctification, it says in John chapter 15, verse 14, that you are my friends if you obey my commandments. You can be a friend of God. And it also says in the next two verses that I'm going to impart knowledge to you and information because you are now my friend. Slaves don't get this information, but friends do. So you go from the relationship, or a person that spends a lot of his life in ignorance, he becomes distracted, he becomes heart. See, you're never static. You're always moving in your spiritual life. And if you continue to make decisions of ignoring or actually rejecting doctrine, you're going to get harder and harder and you're going to become the enemy, whereas a person that makes the right decision becomes a friend. And here's the last one. This is under classification. If all that happens to you as a believer during your experience in life is that you were positionally sanctified at the point of salvation, which only depended upon God, then you have become a loser believer. Loser. And people hate that term. Not all of them. I mean, the ones that know what's going on don't. I've had people leave the church. I just don't like to be called a loser believer. I'm not. I hope you understand. I'm not calling anybody anything. But what I am stating is that if what I'm telling you is true, if God has super grace blessings that He wants for you, in fact, we've already seen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, He created a special package for you. We call it the super grace blessings. We call it the inheritance. There's various names that we give it. Escrow blessings. They're already there. We got that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And if you're going to turn your back on that, if you'd rather go your way and have it like Frank Sinatra, I'll do it my way. God lets you do it. This is what you look like right here. You know what that is? A big L. You're a loser. Now, you might not be a loser to people. Oh, you might be very successful. You might have a big house, a nice car, a lot of money, have a lot of friends and have charisma and everything else. But in God's eyes, you are a loser. And every believer will stand before Jesus Christ and answer for the time that God gave him here on earth. What did you do with it? And those people who have all that, if you think that they're happy, then you are delusional. None of those things bring happiness. The only thing that brings happiness in this life, true, lasting happiness, that cannot be taken away, is your relationship with God. And that relationship is tied to what you know about Him. This isn't a quest for knowledge just for the sake of being smarter. This is how we get to know God, is to understand who and what He is through His Word. So these are loser believers as opposed to a winner believer. You can go through life as a winner. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter if you have any fame. You could be a hermit, obscure from other people, and be a super grace blessed believer. Remember, we demonstrated that people like David. I love David. They all love David. I mean, of course, if you don't know anything about David, he can't really scratch where you itch. But I like David because he was such a flop sometimes. I mean, he went from the highs to the lows, didn't he? I mean, he did things. These people who think that you can lose your salvation, they have a hard time with David. I've asked people before who said you could lose your salvation. Well, do you think David was saved? Was he? You think he'll wind up in heaven? Oh, well, yes. Well, I thought you said if a person murdered somebody, they're going to hell. Well, yes. Or if they rape somebody, surely they go to hell. Yes. Well, what about David? David did all those things and many more things. He lied. He did so many things. And yet, God gave him the great honor. One of the highest honors you can have by giving Jesus Christ the title Son of David. This demonstrates God's wonderful grace. And if you're thinking, mulling around in your mind, you're thinking, well, you know, what he's saying sounds pretty good, but I have such a full plate right now. And I just don't know if I can exert any more energy in any direction to try to bring this about. Let me tell you something. It's not your energy. This can only be executed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the energy. He gives you the right thinking. It's the doctrine in your soul that you learn through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you these things. He files them away in your soul. And then when disaster happens, boom, He brings them right to the front. And you start thinking this doctrine. You see, it's what you think that changes everything. And Satan is telling you just the opposite. And the media. Oh, if you really want to be happy, you've got to buy this new Lexus. It's got 500 horsepower. It's got radios that will blow your eardrums out. It's got this, that, and the other. And they get people thinking, well, I just can't be happy without that Lexus. Got to have one. or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just example. And they get it, and then they go into deep depression because it never satisfies. I'm here to tell you the only thing that satisfies you and will continue to satisfy you, that will never let you down, that will always, 100% of the time, be true and faithful, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with God through Him. And He's got, you see, how can I describe? I just keep saying we're just blobs of old sin nature. That's really what we are. And when you get more blobs in a confined area, it gets harder because blobs, old sin nature blobs, start bumping into one another, start vibrating and all this. That's why the Bible tells us that we have to have what's called unconditional love. That's a command. Can you do that? Can you love somebody that you can't stand? You could if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's one of those commands. That's one of the things that the Lord can demonstrate to you if you grow up and learn about these things. You don't try to fake it. You can't go to that neighbor that is always getting under your skin and very irritating. You can't go there and bake them a pie and go, "Hi, neighbor," and you got this fake smile. That doesn't cut it. That's not what it's about. It's having a genuine concern about that person. To pray for that person that has offended you and insulted you, so that they too can experience what you have experienced. This experiential sanctification. That's what it's about. I'm going to have that on the notes, by the way. Oh, mercy. This is supposed to take 5 minutes. I redid. Remember last Thursday, we went into Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 14. And I was demonstrating through that, through as well as some other scriptures, that saved people need saving. You remember that? Y'all believe that? I need saving. I don't need to be saved in order to go to heaven. That's a done deal. But I need to be delivered from all of the enemies and dangers, from my own bad decisions that I would come up with, and the divine discipline to sin unto death. There's a lot that I need to be saved from. And I went to Romans chapter 10, starting with the fact that some would allege that you have to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord before you could be saved. And I've taught you that portion, that verse isn't even talking about positional sanctification. I told you that throughout the New Testament, every time that you read someone calling on the name of the Lord, it's always a believer calling for physical deliverance. And I was going to get into, I redid that whole presentation. I had 12 slides in it. And I reduced it to about 9 slides, and it's a lot better. And that's what I was going to be teaching you tonight. See, it really was. I could go into it right now, but I'm out of time. A few minutes and now will be. The Holy Spirit evidently had something else in mind tonight. I never know. I did have a burden. When I was putting this chart together today, I was thinking, how many believers don't know this? They have no frame of reference. They really don't know what to do with their life as believers. And this is wonderful. Some of you know. Some of y'all are already in spiritual maturity. And I know what you're thinking. You inside, you're probably thinking, "Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody's saying it. Let it ring from the rooftops." It's incumbent upon every one of you. The Lord will hold you responsible, first of all, for understanding this, because He made it clear to you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you rebound, if you confess your sins before we started as a believer, or at least checked yourself, then the Holy Spirit has made this gnosis information. You understand it now. Not because of your intellect, your education or anything, but because of what the Holy Spirit has done. Now it's an issue, do you believe it? And if you believe it, then you will be challenged to meditate upon it, to follow through with it, and to internalize it so well that you're able to articulate it to other people. And that is a joy. What you're really telling other people is what life is really about.
a wonderful thing that very few really understand. And when you do that and they turn on and they get it, that's beyond words. It's like witnessing to someone and they believe in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, then you've lost, you just lost out on some of the greatest things that there are. And I'm challenging you, understand this, stick to it, and look for opportunities to talk to other believers so that they too can start to experience experiential sanctification, so they will be set apart in time, in the time in which we have here and for all eternity. They're going to shine. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to focus upon your magnificent grace. We're in awe of the plan that you have established even before you created the heavens and the earth. You knew us intimately then and loved us enough to provide this fantastic spiritual life for us who are royal family members, royal priests, royal ambassadors. You had it all planned in eternity past. And now you have revealed it to us through God the Holy Spirit. And we pray that this will resonate in our souls, that we will actually get it, that it will click, that we will be spurred on to greater things that we can do through you. And understand that happiness is not in circumstances, but happiness indeed is in our relationship with you. We thank you for this, and we pray it all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.